This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Noelle Lim, Koo Soo Chuang, and myself, Shazana Mukhtar. We are turning our attention to what's happening in New York at the United Nations right now. The UN General Assembly has opened, and President Joe Biden presented his first address this week, where he called for a new era of global unity against the coronavirus, climate change, cybersecurity threats, and autocratic influence.
Yeah, and of course, he describes the future as a world where American civic leadership and not military power will be the driving force in resolving persistent global problems. I'd like to see that day come. Without mentioning China, he added that the US would seek to counter rising autocracies while avoiding a Cold War. I'd like to also see that day come. He also pledged to increase funding, a sum of over $11 billion for developing countries by 2024 to tackle the climate crisis.
And definitely you need to listen to Kishore Mahbubani's interview, because I think this is something I want to explore with him, what he thinks about US, how they are handling their foreign policy. But because, as we know, allies remain skeptical about Biden's foreign policy, given the recent months' lack of coordination on their end during the chaotic Afghanistan pullout, saw a number of international parties scrambling to evacuate. And then there's the AUKUS deal of providing Australia with nuclear-powered submarines, which obviously blindsided France, a key ally.
So what are the takeaways from Biden's UN address, and does it boost his credibility with partners? For answers, we're asking Chong Jayen, Associate Professor of Political Science at the National University of Singapore. Good morning, Jayen. Thanks so much for speaking to us today. What do you make of President Biden's UN speech? Observers are calling it a more traditional address, very different from his predecessor Donald Trump's confrontational approach.
So Biden's speech, I think, hewed quite closely to some of the themes that he'd been touching on during his presidential election campaign. So this included climate change, it included dealing with COVID. And in addition, he talked about the need to focus on diplomacy. He touched a little bit on Afghanistan. And he was able to offer something a little bit more concrete in terms of talking about providing some funding for developing nations that were facing climate issues. So in that sense, it was a bit of a return to a more multilateral, more cooperative United States that I suppose is, at least in rhetoric, something that people might be used to, hence the claim that it's more traditional, so to speak.
How do you think the allies and other nations might react to Biden's address, given that they remain skeptical about his recent foreign policies, especially in the chaotic pullout from Afghanistan and across the highly contentious AUKUS deal?
So I think the pullout from Afghanistan, that is not strictly a Biden thing. It was already articulated under the Trump administration, and there was a deal with the Taliban that allowed for a peaceful pullout. So in that sense, it was already out there. Of course, the execution was highly chaotic. The apparent lack of expectation that the then Afghan government would collapse so quickly, I mean, those were all highly problematic. So I think that points to some of the execution in terms of the strategy that some U.S. Allies and friends and others actually may find quite questionable. Then with the Australia, UK, US deal, I mean, there seems to be a lot of confusion there. Again, given US priorities about focusing on Asia, that I suppose is consistent with that vein. However, the execution was seemingly very confused, hence the cutting out of a close US ally like France. So again, I think the question would be that, you know, even if the Biden administration seems to have a strategy that is understandable, that makes sense, that might even, you know, be one that other actors can get on board, the execution side, I suppose, leaves more questions to be answered. So whether and how a Biden administration can deliver on the many promises that it has made, I think is what will be on the table despite the speech.
Biden didn't mention China, but he did say the US will seek to counter rising autocracies while avoiding a new Cold War. How will Biden's call work here after the AUKUS affair rubbed China the wrong way?
So to begin with, I think there are a few things that would rub China the right way these days, short of completely agreeing with them. Now, that having been said, I think the reference to autocracies, it's not just China. It is probably aimed somewhat towards Russia as well. Now, that having been said, I think what the thrust of the Biden comments would suggest to me is that we are looking at a period where there's more intense competition between China and between the US and its rivals, including China, including Russia. The US will be trying to bring its allies on board. So that relentless diplomacy, I think we will see probably translate into greater contestation over various issues. The part about avoiding a new Cold War, I suppose, is indicative of something that the Biden people have been saying since the election last year, which is they want a competitive, they foresee a competitive relationship with China. They want to, they are not going to hold back from this competition, but they do also want a competition that does not spill over into uncontrolled escalation, does not translate into conflict. So I suppose in this respect, the Biden comments are quite consistent with what he and his people have been saying for the for much of the past year, even before the inauguration.
Looking at some of the other things he said, there were some pluses. He has pledged to double the public international financing to help developing nations tackle the climate crisis. And the U.S. will be shipping more than 160 million COVID-19 vaccine doses to countries around the world. So will these measures be enough to placate distrustful allies and nations?
I think it'll do something. Now, the part about the developing nations facing the climate crisis, that may not necessarily just have to do with allies, because a lot of the US's closest allies and friends are more developed economies. This is probably targeted towards countries that the US believes are worth winning over. Now, the bit about the 160 million doses of COVID-19 virus vaccinations, I think that some of it will probably go to allies. So, for instance, we know that US allies like South Korea, they have a vaccine shortage. Now, having more doses of vaccines would certainly be helpful. However, if we put this into perspective, yes, in objective terms, 160 million doses is a large number, right? But that also translates into vaccinating about 80 million people, which on the grand scheme of things is actually not that great. If you say, look at Indonesia with a population of what, 240 million, that doesn't get us to half. So, you know, it's a number, but if we're talking about a global pandemic, it's not going to be enough. I think it will send a message of goodwill to some. It may placate some allies, but in terms of broader US strategy, the vaccine doses probably are not going to be quite enough to win over that many countries.
And of course, going back to the AUKUS agreement, it ruffled France's feathers, but the US and France have since released a joint statement saying they're going to work towards mending ties. What role will the US play in mending ties between France and Australia and the UK?
So France and the US, they actually have a lot in common. In terms of the current rules of the world order, I mean, it's benefited both of them clearly as developed nations. In terms of some of their political values, their sort of shared commitments to, you know, basic ideas about how politics should be open and competitive and broadly speaking democratic, which of course, whether they meet those aspirations is one thing, but at least there's a commitment to trying to reach them. So there's common ground. There's obviously reason for the US and France to work together. And, you know, obviously that means to say that they have reason to see better US ties going forward, especially in the light of more competitiveness with both Russia and China. So there's that element there. In terms of Australia and the UK, I suppose the US being the more powerful actor in these relationships, what it can do is perhaps offer some sort of mediation or brokering role, because I think what we now know about the AUKUS deal, some of the unhappiness comes out of the fact that Australia, which was the other party to the initially already very troubled submarine deal, did not articulate its desire to end the contract to the French as clearly as they could. And there's a feeling on the French side that the UK was being opportunistic, right, in signing up to this deal, because there was some doubt about what additional technologies or assistance they can offer that the United States could not. So I suppose what is there is some level of distrust that perhaps the US can help ameliorate.
Jayan, thanks so much for weighing in with your comments today. That was Chong Jayan, Associate Professor of Political Science at the National University of Singapore, giving us the highlights of President Joe Biden's speech at the UN General Assembly this week.
Yeah, so the Cold War is happening as we speak, right? And this is indicated by moves to ensure semicon chip self-sufficiency and also access to resources as well as to markets. I think the question for ASEAN countries is how can we capitalize on this tension? I think yesterday when I was listening to Chua Chun Bin, the Executive Chairman of Penta Master, Philip C, spoke to him, and Chua was saying that they have had received spillover orders from countries wanting to avoid China, but it does open up opportunities for Malaysian companies to be based more in China, so that China fulfills its dual circulation strategy.
Right. So I mean, countries in the middle will have to figure out how they want to play out these tensions. I do find Biden's comments, there's a dissonance. Yeah, on one end he's saying we don't want conflict, but on the other end there are measures that are kind of pushing towards that from both sides. Both China and the US are guilty of doing this. So stay tuned for that discussion. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.